time to talk business. Inc. Radio. Real stories, real solutions. Inc. Magazine has the knowledge and experience to help you grow your business and stay ahead of the competition. This is Inc. Radio. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, good day, everybody. On the newsstands right now, depending on where you are in the country, you'll either see the September issue, which is the Inc. 500 issue. Again, the Inc. 500 is the 500 fastest-growing private companies in America. And meet 2015's superstar entrepreneurs. Or the October issue will be coming out, and it's coming out right now. So depending on whether you're a subscriber or whether you're buying on newsstands, they may both be available there. So listen, we always talk about raising capital on this show because entrepreneurs constantly trying to grow, trying to reinvent themselves, trying to start another business. My wife the other day, she says to me something, you know, how many businesses do you need? And I said, I don't know, but I'll let you know when I get there because I'm constantly starting another business. And somebody said about Donald Trump that, you know, he never has enough. And I think that's just kind of goes with being an entrepreneur. You guys know what I'm talking about. So to that point, our first guest for today is a company out there called iDisclose. And you can check it out at iDisclose.com. And it is a company that is for entrepreneurs and business owners who want to raise capital and reduce the time and cost of hiring an attorney. So iDisclose is the world's first web-based application to streamline the legal procedure of raising capital by generating institutional-grade private placement documents for businesses to review with their legal counsel. Now, my legal counsel always says to me, you know, I have some boilerplate we can put in there for this, that, and the other, and I have some documents. So, he, you know, he's always having to, you know, I'm paying him the big money to have his, I don't know, $15 an hour person go and look through these different documents. But I'm paying him the $500 an hour to pay his person $15 an hour to do this stuff. So I think that this may be a solution where you don't have to pay $500 an hour or $300 or $150 or whatever you're paying in your local area. Georgia Quinn is here. She is part of Ellenhoff, Grossman, and Scholl. And they are the leading securities attorneys, and they have come up with iDisclose. Georgia, am I saying all this right? Am I getting it right?
Yeah, you're getting it, Alan. First, thank you so much for inviting me. This is great. But yeah, you're getting it, the gist of it. We're really trying to empower entrepreneurs and small business owners to kind of do it themselves and help in the preparation of their legal documents to save time and cost so they're not paying the lawyers those $500 or $800 an hour fees.
Well, see, you're in New York City, so you see those things. I was being very generous at $500. I think the most I've ever paid is like $250 in my small town. So I know that it could get way up there the bigger the attorneys. But you can spend so much money preparing to raise capital that all of a sudden half the capital you raise goes to your attorneys.
Absolutely. And it's not just all of the capital that you're raising, but it's all of the time that you're spending, you know, working on the documentation process and coordinating with your attorney. It's time that you should be spending working on your business plan and investing in your business, which is frankly what you're good at. You know, yeah. You're not a legal expert. You're not a lawyer, and you shouldn't, you know, be wrapped up in that.
So is it true? I'm looking at some numbers here. That over the past few years, the U.S. has sustained impressive business growth with about 530,000 new businesses launching each month? Is that right? Am I reading this right?
Those are the stats.
My
now,
goodness.
These are small, you know, these are small, can be, you know, sole practitioner type businesses or, you know, it kind of runs the gamut. But we're, you know, we're an industrious culture. And the problem is not how many are starting, it's how many never get off the ground. You know, it's how many are failing after they form. And that's where I'm trying to help.
Yeah. Well, we're talking to Georgia Quinn. She is from iDisclose.com. You can check it out on the web. I'm looking at it right now. And it looks pretty simple. I like, you know, features for entrepreneurs, for lawyers. Oh, you mean you actually work with lawyers?
Yeah, I mean, lawyers should not be afraid of what we're doing. We actually are partnering and working with several lawyers. What we do is the documents that we produce are still drafts. They still require a light lawyer review.
Right.
But again, that lawyer is going to spend 1 hour on this instead of 30 hours. And that's what we're really trying to bring home.
All right. Well, hang tight. I'll get a couple more little bits of information from you. Again, idisclose.com. Brand new. Again, the world's first web-based application to streamline the legal procedures and being able to raise some money and getting all these documents quick and easy. We'll be right back with more of Georgia and Inc. Radio. Stay with us. I'm Alan Taylor. Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information. Well, if you want to discuss it, now is a good time because raising capital for a small, medium, or large business, or being an entrepreneur and getting ready to start a business, is a dangerous, slippery slope. Georgia Quinn is here. She is from idisclose.com. I'm Alan Taylor. Thanks for joining us. So, let's talk about mistakes that business owners and entrepreneurs make because, you know, to me, I'm one of these guys. I'm stubborn, Georgia. I'm so stubborn because I always think I can do this on my own. I don't need an attorney. I don't want to pay all those fees. I'll just go buy the whatever I need. I'll make it up. I'll copy. You know, I'm just dumb like that. But and then it costs me money in the long run. But let's talk about those mistakes.
Yeah, well, if that's the kind of entrepreneur that you are, then we're perfect for you because the mistake it sounds like that you're making is you're not even going to consult legal counsel and you're going to do your offering and you're probably not going to have the legal protections in place that will protect against an investor who gets disgruntled later on in the transaction or if the SEC, God forbid, ever came snooping around your deal. You're not going to have the legal documents in place that you need. So instead of, you know, the other mistake I see, which is going to a law firm and paying, you know, just way too much, especially in comparison to the amount of money that you're raising, we have a solution that's going to help you do it yourself as you like to do. You're going to be able to go online. You will complete this adaptive questionnaire that, like I mentioned, is very similar to TurboTax, where based on the responses you input, it provides other questions.
Ah.
You'll go through, you'll complete this tool. And then it will add all the legal language around what you produced and generate this document that you can then, you know, take to your lawyer. Or if you don't have a lawyer, we work with a team of lawyers that will do that final legal review for a really reasonable price. And that way you get the best of both worlds. You're protected and secure in your offering, but you're not out an arm and a leg just to raise the money that you need to survive.
Man, 530,000 new businesses launching each month. I can see that. idisclose.com would be a great resource for entrepreneurs, business owners, and the rest. And so this is just, is it focused towards raising capital at iDisclose?
Exactly. It's just for companies that need to access the capital markets. So my background is in securities law.
Ah.
And that's how I've been able to, you know, prepare and generate this application. But it's just for raising capital. It works for all types of businesses. So it doesn't matter what industry vertical you're in. You could be biotech. You could be some sort of retail outlet. You could be a technology company. You could even be a real estate deal. It works for all types of companies and transactions. Doesn't matter, you know, if you're trying to raise equity or debt financing, whatever it is, this application will work for you.
So whose idea was this? Because it's a great idea.
So it was my idea. Thank you, Alex.
Oh, nice.
But it started when I was working in private practice, and I just started to see the disconnect where it didn't matter if you were IBM and raising $800 million or some small mom-and-pop startup and just raising a couple $100,000, the legal documents that it required to raise that money cost the same. So it was still going to cost you, you know, $100,000 to prepare all the legal documents, no matter how much money you were raising. And that just didn't seem right to me. And it also, you know, didn't seem fair to the small and startup businesses that, you know, were really just trying to get going and they didn't have that kind of capital. They still deserved the legal protections of the documents. They deserved quality legal documents.
Yep.
But they couldn't really afford them. And so I thought if we could apply technology, which has been so helpful in other aspects of, you know, our society, if we could apply it to the legal practice, we could have something really great. And I think we do.
Yeah, no, it looks awesome. By the way, I'm looking at some of the questions here on your website. And the last one being, are you planning other online tools? And we've got about 30 seconds. I love this. We're talking about iDisclose.com. Go ahead, Georgia.
So, yeah, we've got a lot of things in the pipeline. Of course, my vision, my, you know, dream for the future would be to have a fully automated IPO process someday. So for companies wanting to go public, we could do it all, you know, through an online mechanism. Now, that's way in the future. But in the meantime, we've got an application coming up for EB-5 offerings, for Regulation A-plus offerings. I know this is going to sound very esoteric and legalistic, but these are just new areas of capital raising that basically have stemmed from the Jobs Act and are ways that small business and entrepreneurs are going to be able to, you know, kind of level that playing field and access capital to survive and grow.
Georgia Quinn, iDisclose.com, a great idea. Thanks for being with us, Georgia.
Thanks so much, Alan.
I'm Alan Taylor. It is Inc. Radio, and we're here for you. We'll be right back. Looking to become an entrepreneur and purchase your first business? Finitrends Financial has been helping entrepreneurs fund their dreams of business ownership for over 30 years. Whether it's using a retirement plan to buy a business, securing an SBA loan, or utilizing a dozen other options, Finitrends works hard every day to get entrepreneurs the funding they need quickly, safely, and economically. Speak with a funding expert today. Call 866-423-6387 or visit Finitrends.com. That's Benetrends.com. Finitrends. Well, you're listening to Inc. Radio. I'm Alan Taylor. Our show brought to you in part by Benetrends Financial. Expect more from your funding partner. Expect only the best funding options for purchasing a business. And you can visit Benetrends.com. That's Benetrends, Benetrends.com. So, to franchise or not to franchise, because if you use Benetrends, you know, you may be looking at a franchise. I'm having lunch a few minutes ago, and my producer comes over, and we're sitting right directly next door to a little coffee shop that I go to all the time called Rogue Roasters. By the way, in Oregon, it is the number one coffee roaster, and there is a big coffee business in Oregon. As a matter of fact, a friend also has I think he's doing about $100 million a year in coffee right now, started right in small town USA in Oregon. But RogueRoasters.com is where you can find out more information. The owner is Jeremy Terwilliger, CEO and owner and founder, one of us. To franchise or not to franchise. Jeremy, how you doing, man?
I'm very well. And yourself?
Well, first of all, I love your coffee.
Thank you.
You don't burn it like some do. And, you know, and you kind of snickered just a little bit because you know it's the truth. Fine coffee. And you guys did. What did you win? You won all kinds of awards, right?
Yeah, we took pretty close to a clean sweep at Oregon State's Best Coffee Contest in 2013. Basically, we took first place for our espresso, second place for our single origin, which was an Ethiopian medium roast.
Yeah.
And then we took best overall coffee, and we had the highest score ever in existence of that competition.
Wow, look at you. Yeah. So we're sitting there, and there's a little for sale sign because your building that you're in is for sale. But it's the fact that you just bought a bigger building, but you want to stay there. The landlord just wants to sell his building. I said, hey, I might buy that building because I like Rogue Roasters. And so you come out, and we're sitting there talking, and you said, you know, I said to you, what about franchising? You know, there's a lot of money made. And you're like, I don't know what to do. Where are you stuck with this? I mean, you know our friends that made huge money,
yes, yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely.
And you have the number one thing going on in the state of Oregon, which my guess is that if you went, you know, outside your state, you'd probably win some stuff too. You're doing a really great job.
Yeah, it's been a very adventurous road so far and a lot of fun to be a part of.
And your growth is through the roof right now, so good for you.
It has been very exponential so far.
And is anybody knocking on your door? Yes, because I know I have.
Yeah. Yes.
So, I mean, coffee, first of all, it's delicious, and everybody seems to be doing well with it that's going into the coffee business. So what is your hesitation? I'm just curious, because these are the kind of things that this magazine, Inc. Magazine, and this radio show is designed to help people with. What is it about it that you're unsure of? And I asked you this as we were sitting there for a moment, and I heard you say something that was really, really important. You don't want to lose creative control or control over what it is that is so good about your company, Rogue Roasters. Or maybe you could put it into better words.
Sure. I mean, first in short, I think what we were talking about here is I would hate to lose the heart of this business or why we originally started it, which was to basically integrate a coffee shop into a community with the idea of supporting that community through coffee sales. It's kind of a two-part question for me. One, I lack a little bit of education and background in franchising. So there's that scary side to me, although knowing, having done a number of contracts, I know how lengthy and expensive they can get to get there. The second part is that in that scenario, you're having someone buy your model because it makes money, and their general motivation is to make money. It doesn't mean you don't get buyers who also love coffee or love the brand, but in part, I'm not sure you always get to choose who that person is and if they have the right heart in doing
what
it.
What their motivation is.
Their
right.
intentions are to yeah. do, and to be profit-driven is fine because that's why you're buying a
sure.
business or a franchise, if you will. So in that scenario, I haven't seen a way to protect or to continue to create the heart that I can inspire through my managers and team leaders going into other communities and basically using the same model we created in Grants Pass here in another community, because we've seen that this way of involving a coffee shop in a community through the sale of organic coffee, people are very attracted to it and they like that synergy, if you will, between the business and its neighbors.
I love it. I love everything you guys stand for. I love even your trepidation here, because you would almost rather have it continue to be small and exactly what you want it to be and have the heart and soul that you have created with it than to see it grow and have, well, end up with death through corporation, you might say, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's admirable. Yeah. Although at some point, you must figure out what that secret recipe is to be able to, and it could be that the right attorneys that are in the franchise world, I can connect you to some fabulous franchise people that I know and trust and love that will help you to make sure that you maintain exactly the essence of what Rogue Roasters is. And I would like to help do that for you. So I'll put you in touch with those people.
Absolutely.
And perhaps, you know, you can go on this continued journey in the world of coffee that you've done such a great job. And you guys also have, what is this, a proprietary cold water extraction system, cold brew? What is that? Everybody's bragging about this all over town.
Yeah, it's kind of the next big thing. It's somewhat of a fad in the coffee industry. About 6 months ago, we launched an organic cold brew, which was kind of a niche in the market of cold brew, which is essentially, throughout the market itself, is a way of extracting coffee with cold water that negates a lot of the acidity produced by creating coffee with hot water, and therefore you get a smoother, more fuller flavor out of that.
Mm.
And so what we did was we created a way of double brewing that coffee with cold water, and we've continued to make it proprietary and improve it. And that's been so successful for us,
continue
to run with it.
We have a little break here. Let's go get a cup of coffee. RogueRoasters.com. That's R-O-G-U-E, roasters.com. Jeremy Terwilliger, thank you, brother. Best of luck. Let's you and me talk after the show, and I will hook you up with the best of the best like we do right here at Inc. Magazine, Inc. Radio. We'll see y'all after the break here. I'll have a nice cup of coffee. I'll be fired up.
Don't turn that dial. There is more Inc. Radio after these words from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Alan Taylor. Are you looking for an opportunity to buy a franchise, one that you can really wrap your arms around? Crunch Fitness is really a great opportunity for you. Now, here's a fitness company that's about 10 bucks a month to join. So even if you just want to join, it's a great deal. You want to check it out because I have been personally watching this company grow like crazy. Visit them online at crunchfranchise.com and be in business for yourself, but not by yourself, and have fun doing it. You're listening to Inc. Radio. I'm Alan Taylor. Need funding to purchase your next business? Trust the experts with over 30 years' experience in providing funding for the life of your business. Benetrends Financial. You can check them out at Benetrends.com. Benetrends.com. My friend, the CEO, Rocco Fiorentino. I use him on the show sometimes to give good advice. So we were just talking about, you know, being able to save money with the technology. I mean, basically, we're moving into a whole new world where technology rules. And, you know, it's funny that, you know, this next guest coming up, in today's sharing culture, your employees are used to posting about every minute of their lives and all the minutia on the social media world. And that can mean bad news for your company. So James Pooley is here. He is author of the book Secrets: Managing Information Assets in the Age of Cyber Espionage. James, welcome to the show. You know, it's interesting. I got to tell you. So just, I think it was a couple days ago. I don't even know what day it was. My life is like a blur. A person comes in. She goes, look at this. She shows me an email. No, it was a Facebook post of an angry employee that was literally reeling and F-bombing and everything. I mean, it was like, whoo, this thing. I mean, the iPhone she was showing at me on was like flames were coming out of it. And, of course, now that was up for about 2 days before it got taken down. But the stuff that was said on this. So Facebook and social media can be used as a weapon, but also accidentally people can take pictures of things. Perfect example. I get opportunities to see things in advance, and they say, listen, this is under embargo. You can't show it until X date at X time. And, oh, you know, the temptation is so great to just tweet a little something or post a little picture, and it's only my friends. Nobody really important is going to see it. These things happen all the time, and you never know who is watching, because who knows what your job is and how important it is to you is much more important to somebody that wants to steal that information. So let's get into this. Let's talk about this. Your book, Secrets: Managing Information Assets in an Age of Cyber Espionage. What brought this on for you to want to write this book, James Pooley? And I'm going to call you Jim if that's okay.
It is, Alan. Thank you. It's a real pleasure to be with you. Well, I just got off a government gig. I spent 5 years running the international patent system for the UN. And while I was doing that, I had the opportunity to go around the world, talk to business leaders, government leaders, and everybody was more or less satisfied in most places with how the patent system was working, and they understood it. But the thing that they couldn't understand was how were they supposed to take all of this other information that they know is so critical now in the 21st century? It's data is everything. How are they supposed to protect that when people are telling them they need to share it, they need to collaborate, they need to do all of these other deals? And so it seemed to me there had to be an easy-to-read business book available that would give people some basic guidance on how to deal with this really, really critically important business asset beyond just worrying about, you know, people breaking in, cyber hackers.
Mm-hmm. So I am the collective soul of my audience. And you know what everybody's wondering right now is what James Pooley thinks is going to happen to Miss Hillary Clinton with all of this craziness that she's involved with right now.
Well, I wish I knew. It would be really good to have that kind of clarity on political issues. And if I could do that, I'd figure out a way to do it on financial ones.
But I mean, think about the espionage, though. You know, I mean, it's like, yeah. That's if anybody should be conscious, I mean, in the world you came from and the world she is in, of potential of cyber espionage. It should have been her. And my gosh, I mean, and not whether she's going to win the presidency or whatever. It's more like what's going to happen to her, because she was not using her head in any of this. Because if she had read your book, Secrets Managing Information Assets in an Age of Cyber Espionage, maybe she wouldn't have made those mistakes. Am I right?
Maybe she wouldn't. But, you know, one of the things we all, I think we all can agree on, it has become so complicated to figure out what is the right thing to do. I mean, not so long ago, we thought the best way to protect our data systems was to make sure we had a very, very strong perimeter. Now we find out that the hackers are breaking in all the time, and the best tools are the ones that detect the breaches that are actually happening that we can't prevent. Mm. And so it gets a little complicated when you're trying to decide what is the best IT system or tools to use. But my book is more about how do you manage it? How, yeah, as a business owner, do you work with your employees, work with your customers and your suppliers to make sure that they're respecting the kind of data that you want to keep private for the company?
Well, I had to ask that because of the debates earlier this week, and knowing that the next one coming up is going to be the, you know, Hillary will have to get up there and answer for all her silliness. But
maybe I should run, because I dodged your question pretty well.
You did. You did a pretty good job. I realize we're talking about social media and all that kind of stuff, and dealing with it within the organization, the company that you own. But it's so funny that, you know, these are things that we and I kind of, in some ways, kind of feel bad for Hillary, because, you know, I mean, my kids, they were born with computers in their cribs with them, you know, and my son, who's 27 now, whose wife wants to have a baby, you know, their children are going to be superhuman when it comes to this technology world. But, you know, the Clintons, they it's like almost like, wow, you know, it seems kind of dumb to a lot of us what she did. But maybe she just didn't know any better, thinking, well, put that over there in my bathroom, in the closet over there. It'll be just fine, you know? So anyway,
well, it'll be interesting to find out.
It sure will. All right, so today, here's what I'd like from you, is a few tips. And I know that, you know, your book is full of them. Again, everybody, you can find his book. It's called Secrets, Managing Information Assets in the Age of Cyber Espionage. But you have some tips for us. Let me start with one now, and then we'll finish some on the other side of the break. Maybe you can help these entrepreneurs, these business people, to not make the same mistakes that so many others have made when it comes to something as simple as Facebook and social media, and that people do all day, every day in their business. Go for it.
Thanks, Alan. And the most important thing, and the one that most business owners don't really think about, is that this is a problem. They don't realize it until after it bites them. So you need to first understand that your employees are dealing with a lot of very important assets that aren't money, they aren't property, that's information. And they need to be trained in a way that they understand that the sanctity of this information, the confidentiality of it, is something that their jobs depend on. And the reason that's so important is, as you were saying at the top here, when you hire people who spend all night engaged in massive self-disclosure,
right,
you know, on social media,
right,
you know, can you expect them to come in the next morning and be the picture of discretion when it comes to your own data? Or is there a risk that they're going to send a message out to a bunch of their friends and say, hey, look at this cool thing that I've been working on? Or
exactly,
can you believe the next market that this guy wants us to go to?
Right.
And all of a sudden, things that you don't want the competition to know are out on the social media.
All right, hang tight. We're talking with my new friend, Jim Pooley. James Pooley, author, Secrets, Managing Information Assets in an Age of Cyber Espionage. Scary stuff. Here's one of his quotes here. He says, "The internet, which spawned social media, has changed the way we work and communicate." Okay, so his book will tell you all about how to deal with this stuff. And, you know, we're all doing it. We're all guilty of it. I'll tell you how to get a hold of him and his book on the other side. You're listening to Ink Radio. Across the globe, a child goes blind every 5 seconds. We live in a culture saturated with visual cues, but for some, the world is a blur. Since 1997, the Little Rock Foundation has been leading innovative social programs, advancing legislation, and providing information and education to those affected by visual impairment. Gain the resources you need or make a donation today to the Little Rock Foundation. Find us on the web at tlrf.org. You can make a difference. This is called Somebody Told Me by The Killers. That's right. Welcome back to Ink Radio. I'm Alan Taylor. So we're talking with James Pooley. He's the author of Secrets, Managing Information Assets in the Age of Cyber Espionage. You know, interesting, what's so profound about all this is that in this world we're in right now, trade secrets and all that, you know, we rely on human trust. And you know, it's not that people set out to betray your trust. It's not that they set out to hurt you. But because of social media and the ability to communicate openly and freely with, you know, the voyeurism at the all-time high through Facebook, watching other people do whatever they do, and through whatever, you know, whatever it is you do on the internet, you can Google and see anything you want, things you shouldn't see. You need to be able to rely on human trust. But what I've learned and what you just talked about, Jim, is that companies should create some form of social media policy. That's kind of what you said on the way out of that, in case anybody missed that. Am I right?
That's right. Because, in fact, even though what we hear about these days is about hackers breaking into our systems and losing information that way, studies over and over and over again show that the vast majority of information losses happen because of simple carelessness. It's not because somebody is trying to do damage or trying to steal something. It's because they're not thinking. We all do stupid things. And that's why businesses need to have a social media policy so that they can remind everyone, and they have one set of rules for everybody about how to use these platforms that, you know, when it comes to company information, can be very dangerous.
Totally, totally. Well, you can absolutely be sure that your employees are active on social media. And for younger ones, in fact, Facebooking, Instagramming, and tweeting are as natural as breathing. Like I said, the younger they get, the more they do it. The older they get, they're my dad, he doesn't even know what Facebook is. You know, of course, now in business teaches you to use these assets. They're PR machines, right? So now, moving forward, what should we do, you know, in an ongoing way? Because people forget, you know, you got to kind of keep them going, right?
Right. If you have a good policy, Alan, then the next thing that you need to do is training. And by that, I don't mean orientation. I don't mean something that you do for the new guys that are coming in and that's all. Something that tells people on an ongoing basis what the rules are and why they're important and how whatever it is that they're doing really impacts the company as a whole and protects their job so that the importance of it is drilled in. So you do that with your employees, with your new ones, with the old ones, with contractors, in fact, anybody who is touching your confidential information, because you have to assume they're all on social media.
Right, which they are. I mean, if they're in the world today and they've got a phone in their hand, it is not always being used to make a phone call. So what you're saying is, and I like it, because I'm thinking to myself, all right, boy, the more we start doing social media, you know, I looked the other day and I thought, man, I haven't done anything since, you know, a year and a half on one part of my website. I thought, what happened? I actually forgot it was there, you know, and so we're starting now to have this kind of monthly get together to talk about social media and to talk about how we can do a better job. But this is something that should be added to that conversation, don't you think? Great place to do it, huh?
Oh, yeah. And indeed, one of the things people need to be concerned about is sometimes the confidential information of the business exists right on the social media because, for example, LinkedIn, somebody builds on your behalf, on your dime, on the time that you're paying them for, he builds a big contact list for your business. What happens when he leaves? The LinkedIn policy would say that belongs to him. And so having it very clear in that policy and pointing out to people that when they open up a social media account, it's going to be for the benefit of the company.
You can find his book at I'm going to spell it. It's easier. V-E-R-U-S Press. V as in Victor. E-R-U-S Press.com. Or you can find him online also at James@Pooley.com. P-O-O-L-E-Y.com. James@Pooley.com. We're talking with James Pooley. There's more after this on Ink Radio. Gonna get a big dish of beef chow. Are you looking for a tool that can quickly change from sanding to cutting to scraping? Well, the Craftsman C3 19.2-volt multi-tool offers multiple uses with just one tool. The quick blade release feature allows you to easily exchange accessories with a simple lever rotation. Variable speed settings and two built-in LED work lights will help you finish a variety of projects on your to-do list. Pick up your Craftsman C3 multi-tool today. Craftsman, made to make. Available at Craftsman.com, Sears.com, Sears Hometown, and Sears Hardware Stores. You're listening to Ink Radio. Ink Radio is just like Ink Magazine on the newsstands everywhere. As a matter of fact, there's a nice ad in there coming out in the October issue. You will see me. I do another show called The Drive. I'm a car guy. I know you probably know it if you've heard the show. I have worked for Motor Trend and Car and Driver magazines for the last 25 years of my life. But I'm an entrepreneur. How do I feed my obsession with cars? I buy and sell real estate. I buy and sell anything that I can, airplanes, whatever. I love business. And so I've hooked up with the folks here at Ink Magazine, and I think it's a marriage made in heaven because I get to buy more cars now. But there's an ad for the other radio show I do. It is called The Drive. So you'll see that in the next issue, the October issue of Ink Magazine on newsstands everywhere. You can also hear my show at TheDriveWithAlanTaylor.com. So James Pooley is here with us. The book he wrote is Secrets, Managing Information Assets in the Age of Cyber Espionage. A very interesting last 5 years you have had, by the way, in our earlier discussions. You can find his book also on Amazon, but Versus Press. Verus. I keep getting it wrong, Jim. V-E-R. V as in Victor. V-E-R-U-S Press.com. I don't know why.
Yes, Latin for truth.
Ah. Again, you spent the last 5 years working on a project with who?
Well, I was the Deputy Director General of the World Intellectual Property Organization in Geneva. It's an agency of the United Nations, and I ran the international patent system.
Wow. That is wild, man. So you are well-versed in this type of stuff. So thank you for being on with us today. And I hope that a lot of people buy your book, and I can't wait to get a copy myself. I may send it in to get, you know, some kind of a signature on it or something. Or you can put your signature on a check, make it easier on me if you want.
There we go, Alan. Happy to do it for you.
So let's get back to this. Social media, so many people are, you know, they're doing it. Everybody's doing it everywhere. And on the job site, there needs to be some sort of a social media policy. We covered that. Then there needs to be ongoing training that includes everyone in the company, everybody, including contractors, temps, interns, anybody that has information to your private information that is, whether it's intellectual property or whether it's whatever it is, they accidentally can share things that you don't want shared. So making sure that you have some kind of a policy in place. Systems and processes, everybody. Let's not forget that. What is the last thing you can tell us in these last five minutes or so here?
Well, after you make sure that everybody is clear about what the rules are and how important it is for them to follow them in their own interest as well as the company's, then you have to follow up to watch what the behavior is look for things on social media and make sure that when something happens that shouldn't have happened, you do something about it. It doesn't mean you have to fire people, but you have to use the incidents as a way to feed back into the learning loop so everybody gets it about what they are supposed to do and avoid doing.
Yes. Well, and I must say, so, you know, sadly, there's somebody else has to watch, because I mean, when you have a business that is starting to become valuable, whether, you know, I mean, if you're just a small mom and pop business, you have your own way of doing it. But as the business gets bigger and bigger and bigger, somebody has to be assigned to monitoring some social media, whether it's every so often or on a daily basis, or I don't know how, I mean, how often should we do that kind of stuff, Jim?
Yeah, on whatever works for the business.
Okay.
You have to pay attention to the basics and run your business and not let this get in the way of doing the other things you need to do.
Right.
But however often you need to dip your toe in and find out what's being said about your company on social media, and if it's coming from your employees, then you need to test it against that policy.
Right. All good advice, and I'm sure there are a lot more tips inside the book, Secrets, Managing Information Assets in the Age of Cyber Espionage, by author James Pooley. Again, you can find his book on Amazon.com. I look forward to having you on again to talk about this and more, if I can get you to give us more tips as you want to set them free, little birdies that they are, because we all need help in this way. Jim, thank you very, very much for being on with us today.
Thank you, Alan. It's my pleasure.
All right. Again, you can find his book on Amazon.com or VerusPress.com. V as in Victor, E-R-U-S-Press.com. Now go out and pick up an issue of Inc. magazine, available at newsstands everywhere, or visit our website. It's real simple. Threeletters.com. So it's INC.com. It doesn't get any easier than that. You will find an amazing amount of resources to help you in your business. Videos, more of this radio show. There's a tab for radio. And lots of great articles from entrepreneurs and business people just like you. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll see you next week. On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.